Here I am, Dumpster D, live in Portland, Oregon. And we are talking about, whoops, the street roots paper, which I just dropped. Ta-da!
I came here from a flood from Houston. Lost my apartment, me and my sister both. So we came here. I heard about street roots because we were outside in the cold. All the shelters were full. But they helped me to bring these papers out so that I could make money.
I've been a vendor for about a year and a half now. I'd considered selling it before, but I didn't think, you know, I'm very good at like rejection. But I had no other source of income once the pandemic hit. So I just started selling the paper and I found I actually enjoy it.
Dumpster D and Karen sell the Street Roots newspaper in the city of Portland in Oregon, one of 28 so-called street papers in the United States. Street Roots is a publication about, and in part by, current and former homeless or unhoused individuals, and it aims to change the face and reputation of homelessness in the city.
Street Roots has been around for almost 25 years, and we focus on investigative journalism, which is a real investment for papers to make, but we believe it's very important because if we're trying to take on systems that are failing people, we need to go deeper. Street papers are really important at creating relationships between housed and unhoused people. Folks start to build a kind of knowledge about each other that then can transfer into this larger understanding of the predicament in our cities.
By providing investigative journalism, coupled with voices of people with lived experience and unique perspectives from the streets, we're able to offer a really unique snapshot of homelessness and housing, but also a lot of the issues that intersect with those realities.
What sets street papers apart is that they offer a means of income to vendors who would otherwise have to ask strangers for money. But they also give unhoused people a space where their voices are actually heard. Street Roots Newsroom, like many other street papers, is mostly made up of professional journalists. But many of their 200 sellers also frequently contribute content, providing perspectives that regular reporters cannot.
Street Roots has had this tagline, for those who cannot afford free speech, for our entire existence. And that really gets at the fact that people in poverty do not have a large enough voice in our society, in our policy making that actually impacts their lives. We actually run a little journalism school for people on the streets, and we really work hard to bring people across housing status, and that includes in our newsroom.
I've been had a lot of problems, difficulties with addiction, like 35 years of deep addiction. And so I like to write about what I see as an area that needs improvement in the community, right? Like the fentanyl epidemic, the process of applying for affordable housing, how does that work? So I have experience in all that area, so I just write about something that I see that needs improved.
Some of the main big papers here in the U.S., the New York Times or the L.A. Times, San Francisco Chronicle, a lot of these newsrooms rely on the voices of officials when covering the issue. Maybe they'll get one line from an advocate. Many of the articles in these street papers provide op-eds, firsthand experiences, people experiencing the shelter, the criminal legal system, and giving folks who have no clue of how people are experiencing these systems a firsthand outlook.
By putting out the word on the street, these papers help make up for some of the shortcomings of the mainstream media on issues of inequality. Stereotypes relating to addiction, mental health, a lack of context on the systemic failures, all contribute to the impression so many people have that when it comes to unhoused people, they only have themselves to blame.
there's countless ways into how people can ultimately become homeless. We cover indigenous affairs, we cover racism, or just all kinds of social inequities that take place. And I think if people gain a better understanding of how all these things tie in, then you can better understand how it is that systems have failed people rather than people on the streets have failed themselves.
I had a poem in last week's paper that were not stereotypes, cliches, or caricatures. And if you talk to us, you'll find that out. And there's people that they see the problems with homelessness as far as like garbage on the streets and everything. I just tell them, you talk to me, you can see, you know, I'm not one of the people that contributed any of that. I don't throw dirty needles on the street.
I think sometimes where the media gets it wrong is they're covering the play-by-play of the crisis that's unfolding on the streets without providing any historical context of why there are so many people experiencing homelessness in the United States, and also what ways that we can be able to solve the crisis.
The second aspect that the mainstream media consistently get wrong is the level of social welfare support that is provided. There's a widespread belief that the issue isn't that the state is not providing help and care, but that individuals are choosing to resist it.
So our main story this week is about a bill going through the state legislature right now.
Street papers are not just out to change perceptions, but also the politics around homelessness. In 2019, Street Roots advocated for a rethink of Portland's public safety policies, tapping into their vendors' knowledge to change how police respond to emergency calls involving houseless people. Now, when a non-criminal incident is reported, health and social workers rather than police get sent out, saving the council millions in police resources and those involved from needless arrest.
Locally, for the last 5 years more, over 50% of all the arrests in Portland have been of unhoused people. That's just completely a system out of whack. And a lot of the arrests are about crimes of homelessness, right? Being trespassing, being in public spaces, doing the daily things of survival in public spaces. So we really took that knowledge, and our newspaper rolled out a special edition where we put our minds to a brand new system. And we fought very hard to get this to be a city system, and we succeeded.
The Portland Street Response, that's a great example of where street papers were able to marry journalism and their advocacy to be able to create systemic change in the community. And there are countless examples of how street papers have played a role in helping save people's housing from budget cuts, or how they're helping drive education around particular policies that affect the poor.
I speak with people in City Hall. I speak with service providers. They read these articles, they read these issues, but also being able to post these stories on places like Twitter or Facebook has drawn attention to mainstream journalists who will then contact the group and cover the story, and has led to what they believe is an expansion of their influence. It's given them a huge edge as an advocacy outlet.
The line between journalism and activism, between reporting on unhoused people and advocating for them, can get blurry. When we put that to Street Roots, the executive director told us that there is a separation between their editorial and advocacy, and that every news organization has an agenda. Street papers are on a mission to put a roof over people's head, which, as far as agendas go, isn't too bad.
We often get a lot of vendors who have joined Street Roots unhoused, and we get to see them ultimately become housed. And it's nothing like seeing the joy of them being able to relish in that moment of bringing their house keys to the Street Roots office to let us know, hey, I no longer have to stay on the streets.
Basically, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. It got me in my home. I've been there 5 years, and I've been doing the papers 5 years.
Good neighbor.
Because the customers still want me to do it. I love the customers, and they like us.
Thanks for watching. If you'd like to see more media analysis on the U.S., Taiwan, China, or anywhere across the globe, we have plenty to offer. Just click here.